great things.
For he has done great things.
Yes,
he has done great things.
Oh,
he has done.
To his house. It's page 138.
Amen.
It's
amen.
Key of G.
Amen. You know, he's given me life.
Amen.
But that's just the start.
Yeah.
He's revealed so much. You know, right. I think about the Old Testament saints. He's given them the same thing, really, that's in a sense. But right. They just don't know. Well, they know it now.
Yeah.
Middle wall petition been broke down.
Right.
But they didn't know it
right.
When they laid down. But I'm thankful to know that I've got my loved ones.
Yeah.
All that love me and all that I love. That's
yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a
you
lot.
Say, oh, we don't overdo it. Well, I can't overdo it.
Yeah.
I can't overdo it.
No.
I love who I love.
Right.
Those who love me, they love me. So
that's
it's,
right.
It's just what it is.
That's exactly right.
He's given me a peace
right.
Day by day by day,
that's
no
right.
Matter what I go through. Even death has no sting. The grave has no victory.
Nope.
If I go
amen.
Home tomorrow.
Amen.
Praise God.
Right.
I don't have a thing to worry about. Everything will be taken care of.
Right.
He's just took care of everything.
Yes, he has.
That's what he's done. You know? But I can rejoice just on eternal
amen.
Life. That alone.
Yeah.
To know I passed from death.
Right.
Amen.
Death
Brother Branham said, I passed from judgment.
Yeah.
unto life. No more judgment.
No. No, not at all.
Hallelujah. Takes a new soul. Amen. Takes a new soul to do it. Takes a new birth to do that.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm a brand new creation.
Oh, my.
Not one patched up and hoping I'll make it and wishing I'll make it. I've already made it.
No.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I just want to thank God for being here. You know, I was sitting there thinking, because I went to work today, but I was still able to go home and take a shower because I'm at Kettering now. So I'm super excited to be there.
Yeah.
it's a blessing, you know, to be closer, to be able to, you know, come to church more. And I was, it's a prayer that I've had, you know, that I just wanted to be a little bit closer, you know, and right now it's only going to be for 2 weeks out of a 4 week schedule, but I'm like, you know what, Lord, I'm taking it. I'll take it.
Amen.
You know, and I'm just so thankful. And I just want to thank God for my husband. We've been together for 18 years,
Amen.
You know, and I was just, and I thank God for that man. You know, I thank God for a man that is in this church, you know, cause that's not something that we should take lightly.
Right.
And I know that even like he's definitely somebody who's like, we're not going to go to sleep. I mean, upset with one another. And I thank God for that. And he puts it in our children, and our children know. And he's such an example, and he's such a giver, you know. And he rebukes me all the time, you know, just in his own testimony, because Lord knows I'm cheap and I'm selfish. And I'm, you know, the first step is, you know, admitting I got a problem. And I know that I do, but it's something that I'm going to overcome. But he's such an example. And I know that every time I look at him, he's so strong, you know, and even... And I love that in this church, you know, they teach us that even when he's wrong, he's right.
Yeah.
You know, and I thank God for that. And I also can appreciate, kind of like I was listening to Brother Don's testimony, that we can take our family.
Yeah.
You know, because I thought about that sister, that brother, you know, the brother Branham saw that she believed and said that God said you can have whatever you want.
Right.
You know, and she...
Yeah.
And, you know, if she knew that this is what she, that she already have her loved ones, you know, her ask would have been different,
right.
You know, and I'm just so thankful that my ask is different because I know that I have my family.
Amen.
I know that they're taken care of and everything that I love, you know, even down to our little dog that they said the other, God's got him, he got her. And I'm just so thankful.
Amen.
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 What a home.
Yes. So good to be home.
Right.
We have so much to be thankful for.
Amen.
We have so much to be thankful for. Just praise God. Thank God for knowing who I am.
Yes.
You know, that just closes Satan up so much, knowing who you are. Knowing from the foundation of the earth, from the foundation of the universe, that you were in the mind of God.
Amen.
I just thank God. You know, the day I had all my kids and all my grandkids with me. And I just praise God for that. Because he's given me all of that.
Amen.
He's given me all of that. And I just praise God. We did Father's Day today. They were all there. I said, let's just do Father's Day.
Yeah.
And I thank God, you know, we were down and out for a little bit. But, you know, we didn't lose our revelation.
No.
We didn't lose our faith.
No,
we didn't forget who we were. And we didn't forget, you know, what our job is. And our job is that rapture.
Amen.
And it's coming. And I praise God.
Yes.
And I praise God for being in this group.
Yeah.
You know, when you're gone for a little bit and I watched everyone come in, the smiling faces.
Oh, yeah.
I love this body.
Amen.
I love these people.
Amen.
I love this truth.
Amen.
You know, I just thank God for the freedom that we have here.
Yes.
We can all get up here and say something.
Yeah.
Brother Moore.
Yeah.
Got enough confidence in us that he wants us to speak. But of course, it's all scriptural because we've got our part to play.
Right.
But, you know, he also opens this up to the ministers that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we understand the truth.
Right.
We know what's being preached.
Amen.
And we know when they're off.
Sure.
But, you know, we're as far as I'm concerned... And I'm not boasting, but I believe we are the most revelated believers.
Go ahead and boast just a little bit.
And, you know, I just thank God that I'm a part of this body.
Right.
You know,
Amen.
I'm happy for all the others that have the same revelation that we do.
Yeah.
You know, and they have just as much right as to believe that they're the most revelated. But I believe we are. Yeah, I'm going to say that. But, you know, it's even that God... just opens the door to anybody that wants to speak.
Right.
And, you know, he's got enough confidence that his body is going to know, You know, we don't have the wool's pulled over our eyes. You know, there, yeah, we know. We are that group. We know.
Amen.
And so I just want to thank God that,
right.
Brother Moore, that you have enough of wisdom.
Yes.
That you throw your doors open to anybody, and like you say, you know, water in, water out.
Right.
So when water comes in, we're blessed. And then when we send the water out, I'm sure they're blessed.
Yes,
but
yes,
we all get blessed.
Amen.
But the good thing is that we have the revelation.
That's
and we know.
Right.
Amen.
We know what this is.
Yes.
You know, we're just waiting to play our parts,
right.
You know, and to get this thing over with.
That's it.
But I just thank God for the freedom that we have.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Right.
Man, I'm just so happy to be here right now. You know, just hearing all the testimonies and, you know, I just thank God for having a place to come to fellowship, to worship, a provided place to worship. You know, Brother Childers said, you know, you got to talk like you're the only person that's got it. And, you know, I can talk like that now.
Right.
You know, once upon a time, I couldn't talk like that. Maybe it was the confidence, maybe it's just a lack of listening, but I've heard.
Right.
I've heard the things that's been preached in here. I've heard the testimonies. I've seen the results. You know, I've seen the manifestation. That's what I look for now. I just look for manifestation after manifestation.
Amen.
Just like we're living from lily pad to lily pad,
right.
From Sunday to Wednesday, from Wednesday to Sunday, the world's doing the same thing. From Wednesday to Sunday.
Keep on talking, brother.
Keep moving. See, that's the thing about a revelation. You got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. You know, wherever God wants you, he's going to set you right there. You just got to keep going. You know what I mean? It don't matter. Just drop your thinking and just keep moving with the program, you know, and you'll be just fine. But I'm so happy to be here. God bless y'all.
Amen.
Just giving him the word test.
Lord, he's been too good to me.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes I get guilty because, you know, like Sister Courtney said, sometimes I want to put limits. You know, I'm limitless.
Yeah.
You know what it feels like to have no limits?
Oh, yeah.
It feels good.
Oh, yeah.
It feels real good.
Amen.
When
yeah.
I can see where I've come from,
yes.
I see where I'm at.
Right.
I know where I'm going.
Know where I'm going.
No limits. You know, I can ask God for anything because I am God. I've gotten rid of that Trinitarian thought.
Yes.
Right.
That's a real revelation because instead of being like, well, you know,
Amen.
Lord, if it's your will, it's my will.
Right.
It's my will. When we start asking stuff, you ask with a different authority. When it's your will. I love that because before it's like, well, Lord, you know, if you know, kind of timid. I'm the bride of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
He didn't give me 5 checks. He gave me the whole checkbook.
No.
I can write
That's
whatever
what
I want. I don't have to feel bad about it. I love what they said. He put his feet to the fire.
Right. Come on.
You make him accountable for what his promises are.
Right.
Lord, he said he would sustain me. I'm sustained.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about, Lord, how it's going to happen. I'm not worried about the details.
That's right.
I know that I have a revelation. I know that I'm signed, sealed, and delivered. I know I was set before the foundation of the earth.
That's right.
That I'm an eternal attribute.
Right.
He's not going to take that back. I love that. The fact that it's mine. It's mine. He's going to come back for his own. Because I have an ear to hear. You know, when you have an ear, you want to hear it.
Right.
Those who don't want to hear it, they're not here.
Right.
They're not here. And God bless them. I love them.
Yeah.
But I have to get myself. I have to
That's
do
right.
it myself because I love that. Because I got my loved ones. Mm-hmm. I've got a revelation. Mm-hmm. I'm signed, sealed, and delivered.
Amen.
I'm like a tree planted by the water.
Yeah.
You know, when you it'd be only a fool to come underneath here and die of thirst.
Amen.
I mean, you have unlimited manna. You have the revelation for your day.
Right.
You know what you're going to get. I don't even have to know what he's going to preach. I know it's the truth.
Amen.
I know that this is what's going to get me to Sunday. And what Sunday don't get me to Wednesday. If I don't see Sunday, God bless it.
Amen.
I fought the good
right.
fight.
Yeah.
I've laid down myself and I, you know, not my will, but thine be done.
Right.
I love that because I start seeing myself, the rest of the story. I love that. The rest of the story.
Yeah.
I see myself in the scriptures.
Right.
Because
right.
I start looking at, you know, when you see Jesus, I see myself.
Amen.
You know, when he touched somebody, it's a love story.
Come on now.
Right.
I'm going through this life. It's not as a judge.
No.
People judge themselves.
That's right.
It's either they to the left or to the
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
It's black and white. There's no gray. It's either you turn or you burn.
Right.
It's such a beautiful, easy revelation.
Easy.
And if it wasn't for the revelation or the seed in me, it would be no desire.
Yeah.
But Lord, thank you for desire. Thank you for an opportunity that I can come in here and be like, Lord, I get to spread my, this is where I get to be myself. Right. Around loved ones. Out in the world, you gotta act professional and you gotta talk a certain way, political, and you know, if you talk about, you know, I got you, they think you're crazy. But I got you. You walked into those doors for a reason. You don't even know what you walked into. Your loved ones, it's just such a revelation, because then you can just, you know how to treat other people. Because if you don't, you're just, you know better than the church world. You're judging people. But with that love, that agape love, not a filial love, but that agape love, you can actually love somebody for who they are, because you understand it's the foolish virgin.
Amen.
You know where they're coming from.
Right.
But Lord, thank you for revelation. Thank you for a Wednesday night. Thank you that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for everything that you put me through, where I can make it through here, because it's made me who I am.
Amen.
It made me appreciate this that much more, because, you know, you got to be a tempered metal. This, if you're pliable, you'll break. But when you've gone through something, it like it crushes those rose petals. You smells it. But I love that revelation. I love the fact that I'm here. I'm glad I'm saying one of them.
Amen.
I just want to say how grateful I am to be here, and you know, to know what I know. And I really, really, really enjoyed Jeremiah's message on Sunday. Yes. You know, it's so easy to get to heaven. You know, the church tries to make it hard. Like, you got to do something. And if God gave you grace, give somebody else grace. It's so simple. You know, I'm grateful to have it for myself, and then I'm grateful to have it for my loved ones. And, you know, I'm grateful to go and meet nice people and give it to them. You know, I know that it's so simple to get it, but then there's a group of people who will never understand, and they can't because they don't have it in them. But I thank God that I have it. You know, like all those other works, you know, healings and everything, that's great. But I have eternal life. You know, that's what it's here for, you know. And I also want to say how much I love my husband.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy to have him home. He wasn't going to be here tonight, and he got to be here, so I got to sit on the front row, you know, and I'm looking forward to today's service, you know.
Amen.
And the brother made a comment a couple Wednesdays ago. He was like, I got something real good for you. I'm like, yeah, I get some good every single time I come. Amen. Yeah, I'm excited. You know, I'm always excited. But I'm just as excited to come today and to hear whoever is giving me my message, because I don't care who gets behind that pulpit. I will pull it out of you, or somebody's going to sit you down and put somebody else up. I know that I'm going to get fed when I come here. And, you know, I thank God so much for everything we have, you know. I just feel, like, overwhelmed, blessed. And I always want to, you know, put God out there, you know. I am living for God, so I'm speaking for God. You know, I always want to be a willing vessel in any and everything.
Amen. Right.
Amen. It's good to be here. I just want to give Sister Johanna a flower.
Yeah.
You know, Sister Courtney was bragging on James for 18 years, but, you know, me and Johanna will be married 11 years this Friday.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of that, but I also know that God put us together.
Yeah.
Before time.
Right.
There was three kids he saw. He saw that there was love between me and Johanna. And I say that because I'm not just bragging that there's a marriage, but God put that together. And that makes me so encouraged, because young people, get someone in here that loves God.
Right. Yes.
Because if you get someone that loves God and puts them first, there doesn't, no matter what this world will bring in, it will bring things. You will be just fine, because that's what we believe. This foundation's strong. And I'm thankful for you, Sister Johanna. I love you so much. But just really quick, last week Luke got really sick, and he's usually pretty tough. And he went to the doctor, and me and Johanna, I didn't go. She took him to the doctor, and she texts me, and she's like, pray for him. And he's saying, Mom, I feel like I'm going to die. And Luke doesn't talk like that. And that was like, I was like, in myself, I got nervous. I was like, whoa, Luke doesn't talk like that. And she goes, well, Luke, you're not going to die. And he goes, can you promise? Like, promise to God, promise? And then she tells me, I'm like, I don't have a promise that you're not going to die, but I have a promise that you have an eternal seed.
Right.
So, like, I will always have faith. I'm going to have faith for healings. I'm going to have those benefits of God.
Right.
But what I can always give you is, when I know there's eternal security, I can speak so boldly.
Right.
Because that's what I really love, what Brother Jeremiah was telling me on Sunday. The benefits of God are great, but I'm so thankful that I'm an eternal seed, eternal son of God.
That's it. Amen.
Coming to his house, page 138.
Amen.
We have come into his house. Thank you.
Yeah. to worship him. Jesus Christ, our Lord.
I want to sing another song. I need thee. Key of G. Page 95 in the choruses.
I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee so.
Father, thank you for this opportunity to get together. Like the testimony stated, we know who's here. We come expecting. Lord, bless this waiting congregation. Bless the hearer and the speaker of the word. Lord, we have prayer requests that we want to send forth as well. Lord, we want to pray for Sister Anna. I don't want to ever lose sight of that, Lord. Lord, bless Sister Clarice. Bless my brother Luke. Bless the bride body. Bless Brother Trevor. Lord, most importantly, we know, bless this word, that it may be edifying and pleasing in thy sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to be here. Get some announcements out of the way. We're going to have my mom's throwing a birthday party for Brother Lockett on July the 2nd. That's going to be in Huber Heights. She'll get the address together for that. Then July 10th, Brother Jeremiah will be going to Little Bethlehem, be preaching there. And then July 22nd, we're going to be at the Deskins, not your house. Caleb and Andreas, looking forward to that. So that's going to be a good time. What's that? Invitations are in the back for Brother Lockett's party. So we've got parties and good times to have by all. So that'll be good. But we're going to have ourselves a party tonight.
Amen.
You know, I kind of like how Sister Elise said it. You know, I got a surprise for you. I'm feeling that way about every time we come to church.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I got something good every time we come to church. You know, right. Brother Jeremiah, when you read those scriptures, it turned me on. You know, that was some good eating. You know, we've been a blessed group. You know, and I'm looking forward to what God's going to do tonight. He's always served us. He's always taken care of us. You know, God's the best bartender. He knows exactly what I need. He's going to get me together. You know. You know, you go to certain places, they say, what do you like? You know, even when you go out to eat, they go, what, you got any allergies? You got anything? Or is the chef just free to do what he needs to do? He ain't got no allergies tonight. I ain't got no doctors I'm going to bring you that you can't eat. I'm not going to serve you something that I know you can't handle. I'm going to serve you some good stuff tonight. You know, I'm looking forward to what God's going to do because, you know, Brother Jeremiah, when you read that, rejoice because your name is written. I mean, that don't get no much better than that. We can just eat on that for a little bit if you don't mind. There's still some meat on that bone. You know, because when you talk about rejoice because your names are written, that takes all the work out of it.
Right.
See, the church world has you believing that you got something that you need to do to get salvation.
Come on.
They got you believing that there's something that you could actually do to earn salvation. But that's not how God works.
Yeah.
That's not how God did it. You know, matter of fact, God knew the fall was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, God knew it was going to rain.
Right.
God knew. So that means, but he always raised up a way beforehand.
Right.
See, that's what gets me excited. Because he slain the lamb before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
That means he knew I was going to need saving.
Yeah.
That means he knew what was going to be needed to pay the price.
Right.
And that I couldn't pay it on my own. So he had to do it before I got here.
Amen.
See, I like to serve a God that takes care of things in advance.
Right.
I don't like to serve a God that doesn't know what's going to happen. I don't want to serve somebody that's always, you know what? It's nothing worse than working with somebody that's always reactive. That don't never know, that shows up late, doesn't know what's going to happen, always second guessing, always doesn't know, always wondering, always hoping. That's not the kind of God I serve. I serve a God of certainty. I serve a God of today. I serve a God that says, I am present tense. Not a God I'm hoping shows up. Not a God I hope takes care of me. Not a God that I maybe, hopefully, if I plumps me, live my life a certain way. That's not the God I serve. I serve a God that took care of me before. See, I even like how David said it. David said he knew all my members.
Yes.
While I was even formed in my mother's womb.
Yeah.
That means before I even left the womb, I was taken care of.
Amen.
See, this church world will have you thinking you got to live this way. You got to live that way. You know what? I found out by Brother Jeremiah's preaching that God don't judge it by no church world. He couldn't. You couldn't pick one church to judge it by because the other one would be left out.
Amen.
So that you can't go off of that. It can't go off of the church's denominations. It can't go off of their ideologies, their creeds, their dogmas. It's got to be something that's going to be universal.
Amen.
That's what got me excited. Because you got to have a righteous judge.
Right.
It's got to be something that's going to be the same in every age. Is, you know what? Because it can't be, you know, so I'm going to throw this out there. It can't be the Pentecostal movement. Because that wouldn't work in every age, Brother Jeremiah. Because that wouldn't work in every age. It's going to have to be something that's going to be universal through every age. Because if he's the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, if he's that kind of God, then how he's judging has got to be the same. How he judged Paul, how he judged Irenaeus, how he judged Martin, how he judged Wesley, how he judged Branham. It's got to be the same.
Amen.
What have you got to do that you must be saved? He said, believe on he whom he has sent.
Yes.
So you got to believe present tense God.
Amen.
You can't believe God of yesterday.
Amen.
You can't even wait for the God of tomorrow.
No.
If you're going to be a believer, you got to believe the word of the hour now.
Amen.
That's the only way that we can tell. All through the ages, those that walked with Paul, they were taken care of. Why? Because they walk with the messenger of the hour. Those who walk with Irenaeus, taken care of.
Right.
That's even how you're going. When they opened the book and saw the names, they saw the names of the messengers.
Right.
They saw in there, matter of fact, even Brother Branham said, well, I brought what Paul brought.
Right.
So I know I'm going to be okay.
Amen.
What? I mean, obviously, there had to be some more progression there because Paul didn't even have the book of Revelation. So how did Brother Branham bring what Paul brought? He brought the word for the hour.
Right.
That was what Paul was bringing.
Yeah.
Paul brought the word for the hour. Irenaeus brought the word for the hour. Martin brought the word for the hour. We're bringing the word for the hour.
Amen.
This is the word for the hour. We're talking about a rapture. That's God's word for the hour.
Amen.
It's not enough to believe that God made a boat, that God got the children of Israel out. That's not enough. It's not even enough to believe Jesus died on the cross. That's not enough.
No.
That's the God of yesterday. You got to serve God right now.
Yes.
That's the requirement.
Amen.
Oh, is it long hairs, long dresses, long this, long that? No, that's not the requirement. The requirement is that you believe on he whom he has sent.
Amen.
That can never be overemphasized. Oh, that's present tense. That's a revelation. So the only condition of salvation is to believe on God. That's my title tonight. Let's go over and book and read in the book of Acts. Because Brother Jeremiah, you read this and it got me stirred up as well. And I'm going to go back over there and read it and we're going to keep digging into this. Book of Acts 16.
And let's start there. There's Paul and Silas there in jail. Well, Jeremiah talked about it. We'll just read the story. It's really pretty brief. We'll go through it. Verse 25. We'll start there. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And they sang praises unto God. Now, these are prisoners. And they enjoying themselves. They having a good old time. In jail. And you want to sit here mule-faced in church? Get out. Get out. Oh, my job is so bad. Get out. Life is too hard. Get out. I don't have no time for you. You don't know who you are. At midnight, Paul and Silas. See, sometimes you want church to be over too soon. At midnight, they was praising God. God only wants you to just enjoy yourself a little bit. He said at midnight, they were praising God, singing to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Now, a lot of people started rolling out of there. A lot of people started leaving. That's why the jailer got scared. If they all stayed in their cells, he wouldn't have been scared. But when the door started open and people started leaving, and the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open and drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoner had been fled. They all started running around. Paul cried out with a loud voice saying, "Do thyselves no harm." Paul settled the masses. "For we're all here. We ain't go nowhere." Paul settled it down. Paul was that calm voice letting him know. Paul was the calm in the storm. "Hey, don't worry. It's going to be okay. I got this. Everybody stay still." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He saw somebody that had some authority. He saw somebody that God was with. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" See, now here's what I like to, let's put the profile together. This is the man that has Paul and Silas in jail. He's a jailer. Has not agreed with God at all up until this point. Now the church would have you thinking he's too bad to be saved. He hasn't done enough to be saved. He hasn't lived the code. He didn't do all these things. And they said to him, "You must pay penance." No, that's not what they said. They said, "Change your clothes." They said, what did they say then? Verse 31, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That got me excited when Brother Jeremiah read that. But I love that there's the whole book. And, see, that, you even said that, Brother Jeremiah. He said every word that's in the Bible is there for a reason. Where the comma is supposed to be, the semicolon is supposed to be, the ands, the buts, the ors, they're in the right place. Amen. And he said, "And thy house."
Amen.
Now, I read that. I don't see where he said, "How does my house get saved?" I don't read where he said, "Your house needs to believe." I don't read where he says, "Your house needs to do anything." That was just one person that had the token, and they could apply it to the whole house. That was one person that the rest of the world would think was not worthy, and they could apply it to the whole house. When you get a token, it takes care of a multitude. Amen. A multitude of sins. That's what got me stirred up about it. Because when you saw that he could take his house didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. Matter of fact, when it goes on, he brought him over there to eat to his house, and he rejoiced believing in God with all his house. That's when they started having a good time, but at the time, they were already saved before he got to the house. They were taken care of when he asked that promise. When he said, "What do you want?" You know, like Sister Courtney testified about Hattie Wright. Hattie Wright said, "I want my boys." Right. Now, the church world put all these religions in. Let's tell the story right. Brother Branham's at Hattie Wright's house. Right. He's preaching, doing his thing out there. Hattie Wright's doing dishes, not even in the same room. Doing dishes. And she says, "That ain't nothing but the truth."
Amen.
She agreed with the messenger of the hour.
Right.
She agreed with the word of God for right now. And Brother Branham said, "Whoa, stop. Whoa. There's somebody that wholly agrees with me. There's somebody in here with some faith. There's somebody in here that touched God." And you go, "Well, Brother Branham was talking to somebody in the other room, but that didn't touch God like Hattie Wright touched God. There's something else on Hattie Wright that touched God that nobody else had touched before like that. Brother Branham wasn't handing out favors like that before." He said, "Hattie Wright, now be careful. Ask what you will, because whatever you ask, God said it's got to happen. He told me to give you anything you want. Woo! See, when you have a, when you got that touch, that line with God like that, ask what you will. Whatever you want can be granted unto you. You want your loved ones? Done. You want all that loves you? Done. You want to take care of this? Done. You want me to move that? Done. What did Hattie Rice say? I want my boys. Now, did those boys just turn their heart over to the Lord? Run and go get baptized the next service? Start carrying around Bibles? You know what the church started doing? Watch those boys. They said, well, Hattie Wright asked for those boys. Brother Branham is a prophet. They should be saved. They should live like they're saved. They should act like they're saved. They should talk like they're saved. They should dress like they're saved. Them boys went on doing what they do. They tried their best to live up to that, but it didn't matter what how they lived. It didn't matter what those boys went on and did after that. They were already taken care of. Amen. See, when you got a righteous judge on the scene, he's looking at just the word. What did the word say? If the word said they're going, they're going. I can't help any their lifestyle, their this is that, their isms and schisms. The word said, and that's what we believe on. That's all believers can do is stand on the word of God. Amen. If you go off of any other way, that's temporal. So for just a few hours, we get the opportunity to talk about something eternal and not worry about things that are temporal. Amen. You know, because I look at this and I go, God, every time he does something, he has to prophesy it first, though. That's what he even said in the Bible. He said he will do nothing unless he first reveals it to his prophets. You know what that is? That's God letting you know what's going to happen. Before the flood, he prophesied it. When he was going to get the children of Israel out, he prophesied it. When Jesus was going to be virgin born, he prophesied it. We can go through all those prophecies. Matter of fact, every one of God's movements was prophesied. He even told Jesus would come out of the lineage of a certain lineage. I mean, everything was prophesied to the letter. But what gets me excited is reading about those prophecies is nice. Hearing about those prophecies is great. But there's got to come a prophecy that's talking about this group. Amen. There's a prophecy that talks about that in those last days, there'll be a group that sees like nobody else sees. Amen. When you're talking about this group, that's a promise that's all I'm judged by. I'm judged by what I'm doing with the word right now. That's how I'm judged. Take your filthy hands off of me. You can't. You know what? I thank God that I have a love for the truth. That's what constrains me. That's what calls me. Well, how else do you think we want to come here on a Wednesday night in Fairborn, Ohio? Because for the love of the truth. We're here for the word. That's what we're here for. Oh, I love that we got friends. Oh, I love that. I hope you get a mate. Oh, I hope you get kids. I hope all those things. But the one thing and all you're getting, get yourself a revelation. That's the most important thing that you can get. That's the most important thing that we have. That's what allows us to know every man we meet. We can judge a righteous way because we've been judged righteously. Amen. You know, and Brother Seth, you said, we're not even really going out here putting people in hell. That's not how this is working. This is kind of, you know, we talk about the classes of people, and the best way I can kind of explain it, because I got my kids here, I want them to kind of pick this up as well, is that this is like casting for a play. Casting for a play. You got a school play, you got some people that try out. God puts all those parts together. You got some stars, you got some background people, you got some people that are going to be helping out. And those are all those people. When it comes time for the lots, everybody's happy to be a part of the play. Then when the play's going on, there's some people that are invited to come to the play. There's some people that show up, and there's some people that don't make the cut. That's just how this works. That's just what's happening right now. I'm reading through and I'm seeing my part. You can't be mad that I got the lead. Amen. That's what I just got. Don't be mad that's what he picked me for. Right. That's what he picked me for. Sure. God picked this. Yeah. God knew I got the right voice to sing the part. Yeah. God knew I was just tall enough to play that role. Right. But there's some people that don't even try out and mad that they're not in the play. Right. This church world don't even want God, and they're mad that we're claiming things. This church world don't even want grace, and they're mad that we're giving grace. This church world doesn't want forgiveness, and they're mad that we're giving forgiveness. This church world don't even want God in their homes, and they're mad that we're keeping God in our homes. And you go, well, Brother Jay, where are you getting that from? That's what happened when they went to Jesus. Let's turn over to that scripture real quick. Because this is going to type out just exactly how the church world was. They did this with Jesus, and they're going to do this with us. They do this all the time. They want the law, no God. They don't want God in their homes at all.
Right.
So over in Matthew chapter 19, we'll read this here. And Jesus was preaching and healing, just having themselves a good old time. Over in chapter 19, and we'll go to verse 3. And the Pharisees came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? See, they were trying to play a trick. They were trying to put sow seeds of dissension. They were saying that divorce should be allowed. They were wanting to know what Jesus was saying. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. See, I like how he worded that, one flesh. That means no separation. That means no divorce in this hour. Wherefore, there are no more twain, but one flesh. And then I like how he puts it here. He says, what therefore God, see, this is going to what Brother Dwayne was talking about. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. If God joins you together, don't let anybody tear you apart. So those Pharisees, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and put her away? And he saith unto them, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffer for you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. What this types out, friends, is that this world wants nothing to do with God. They don't want the ability to forgive. They don't want the ability to let God heal. They don't want the ability to let God's love step in. They don't want any of that. They want laws. That's why they ask for the commandments. They ask for the commandments so that they can govern the people. But they get stuck on the commandments, and they get stuck on the bumpers that God helped them out with, and they lose the intent of what it was for. The true commandment was love each other.
Amen.
Show brotherly love to one another so that all men will know.
Right.
Matter of fact, he said, how will they even know that you love God by how you love your brother?
Amen.
That's how they're going to know. You can't even love a God that you haven't seen until you show the love for your brother that you have seen.
Right.
And you look at that and you go, well, Brother Jay, what are you getting at? I'm saying that they don't judge by love. They don't even have love out there anymore. They want hatred. They want this. They want to separate. But God is the whole time just pulling his bride to himself.
Amen.
Let no man take her out. Let nothing pull asunder. Matter of fact, that even goes over in Romans and says, therefore now I'm fully persuaded that nothing, not even death, can separate me from the love of God.
Amen.
So you're going to let me, you go, you think I'm going to let your rules separate me from the love of God?
Yes,
you think I'm going to let your traditions separate me from the word of God? I can't let you. Get your filthy hands off of me. I know a righteous judge. I know what salvation really means. I know how to get to heaven. You got to come from heaven. That's the first qualification. That's how you get back. You know, I even love that because, you know, we look at that all the time and go, well, you got to go back to heaven. That's how this works. And that's the key word. You got to go back to heaven. That means you came from heaven. You don't just get to go to heaven. You get to go back to heaven. That's a beautiful thing to remember, saints. That's a revelation. Because if you don't have that revelation, you know what you're going to be swayed on? Every wind and doctrine, things that people throw at you. You know what? And a lot of times right now, with this neurotic age, a lot of things that's getting thrown at you, you're throwing at yourself. I'm not worthy. I don't know enough. I don't see this. I don't live like that. What's the qualification of salvation? It's to believe on this word that's coming right now.
Amen.
You got to have a new birth. That's the evidence. Oh, my. Because see, when you look at it that way, you understand that Wesley's message wasn't enough. Branham's message by itself wasn't enough. When God saw what Satan was going to do, he had to build a bride body to combat what Satan was doing. So you needed the entire word, the entire book. The whole book had to be open for you to be able to handle what's going on in this day.
Amen.
So to be able to get to this point, it had to be a building. Even Brother Branham was talking about that, the seed not air with the shuck. He said, you don't start at the top of the ladder. You start at the bottom and build this thing up. Amen. This thing has been built from the beginning of time. God has been building his body that could not fall. I said in the beginning that in the beginning, God knew that there would be a fall in the Garden of Eden. But he realized that when he finished making this bride, it would be impossible for her to fall. She wouldn't fall because she would be built perfect, spotless, without blemish. No, you know what? As a matter of fact, even in the Bible, it says, if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. But it's not possible for us to be deceived. The more I saw that, the more I read about this, the more I looked in there, I thought, my goodness, God has been taking people that the world has been throwing out the whole time. He's been taking people that the whole world would throw out the whole time. And it got me just thinking about Rahab. We talk about her a lot. But my goodness, that's a beautiful story.
Yes.
Those spies went over into the land. I'm going to turn over to Joshua because Rahab said something that got me turned on when she said it. I thought I saw that and I had never read it like I read it before. And it just got me excited. Rahab, we know the story of Rahab. Those spies went over into the land and she took care of them. Now, Rahab was a harlot.
Yeah, right.
That means prostitute.
Yeah.
That's not a good person.
No.
Church world wants to skip over that.
Yeah.
She wasn't a good person.
Right.
But what did Rahab have going for her?
Right.
What did she have going for her that the rest of the building, the village didn't have?
Right.
Let's go over to chapter 2 and read down here in verse 11. And as soon as we heard these things, Rahab's talking to the spies. Letting them know what's going on. She says, I understand that y'all God said y'all going to do these things and every land y'all go through, y'all tear it up. I know this. We got nervous when we saw y'all coming. That's why they want to get you guys. Let's go over here in verse 11. Here's what it says. So we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God. He is God. Oh, Rahab recognized something. She believed. He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Rahab believed God. She believed the messenger of the hour. Rahab trusted God in those men. She saw God. So much so that when it came time to put in a request, Rahab had limitless requests, Brother Isaiah. Matter of fact, she says, now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord.
Yes.
Not just so, I want to make sure that the Lord God that I'm recognizing, I want you to swear on that God. Don't swear. Rahab knew men. She knew men could change their mind. She knew they were deceitful. But she said, I want you to swear by the Lord.
Yes.
See, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token.
Amen.
Rahab understood the token. It's been the same in every age.
Amen.
She saw the report. She said, I want that true token.
Yes.
And that ye will save alive my father.
Yes.
Did she stop there, Brother Isaiah?
Oh,
and my mother,
yes,
and my brother, and my sisters,
yes,
and all that they have.
Right.
See, Rahab got greedy.
Yes.
Rahab saw the vault was open and started just taking and taking and taking. That's how we are in this hour.
Yes.
Right now that we got the book open, we're seeing that we don't got just 5 checks, Brother Seth. We got the whole checkbook, and I'm sitting there, I'm looking and saying, well, if I can take all that love me, let me give somebody a chance to love me. If it's just a glass of water, I think I'll take one. Oh, that's how we're looking at it now. See, the church world want to have you limiting God. They want to have you putting stipulations on it. But just as freely as I got it, that's as freely as I'm giving it. Oh, and even when they go in there and read about that, what Rahab did, she just put them up in the house for a little bit. She didn't have to work too hard. She just hid them away for a little bit. That's what I'm doing. I'm hiding this word in my heart. I'm not working hard. I'm just hiding it away. And then when I come here, I just go, well, I'm going to ask for something.
Right. Amen.
Since I got this word, since I got the opportunity, let me go ahead and take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Oh, my. See, when you see what you know, when you know what you know, you can start asking for things.
Yeah.
If you don't think we got any money in the account, You're going to be a little timid when it comes time to order food. If you think we got $10, you know what? Just naturally in your mind, you're going to go, well, I guess, okay, $10, we got three people. You start dividing it up, and you go, well, I can get something for $3. I can. You start dividing it up. But when it's truly limitless, when it just says all inclusive, oh, now if I want three steaks, give me three steaks. If I want three drinks, give me three drinks. If I want the fruit cup, I want this. I want it all. Oh, I want some slushies. My daughter loves those slushies. Let's go ahead and get four or five of those things. My son wants the hot chocolate. Let's get six or seven of those things. That's how I want to look at this. See, we get in here so much. When you really, truly understand where God is, it should open up your mind a little bit. You shouldn't be so closed off and narrow-minded and short-sighted, thinking that this person's got to fit this schism and that schism. It should open you up and say, oh, that the Father hath given me will come. As a matter of fact, what he said, when they come to me, I will in no wise cast them out. Oh, see? God dresses you. God takes care of you. Amen. When you understand this, it should open up your mind, saints. It's a righteous judge on the scene right now. There's somebody that's looking at everything and judging it correctly. We're only judging it by the word of God. We're judging what you do with the word when it crosses your path. That's our only way to judge. Anything else can be duplicated. You know, Satan can duplicate everything else. He can duplicate healings. You don't have to believe God to get a healing. You just got to have faith. And matter of fact, they were just, they're talking about that even with Brother Branham. He's like, you know, that was just a sign to get some people around. But you better stay for the message. Brother Branham even said after the healings, let's stay for the message. Don't just get the healing, get the message. That's the gold. That's what you're really here for. Oh, healing is fine. Discernment's fine. But the word is what I'm really here for. Oh, the healings are good. All those things are fine. But where's my name wrote at? Is it just in the book of life or is it in the Lamb's book of life? Which one is it? Is it just a record of life or is it eternal life? See, you got to understand where you're at. See, when you see yourself in the Lamb's book of life, you can't take my name off. It can never be erased. Oh, in the book of life, it's just a record of life. It'll say from this year to that year, you did this, you did that. God records all life in that book. But my name had to be transferred from that book to the Lamb's book of life. When you're in there, it doesn't get moved again. There's no blotting out again. There's nothing else. Matter of fact, the white throne judgment doesn't faze me at all. I'm not afraid of judgment. I see my name. I already know what happens with me. Matter of fact, even Brother Jeremiah, when you read that scripture, and I think it was over in Acts, but you was talking about that. You said, as a shepherd. Oh, see, I don't want to dive. I don't want to get in the weeds too much. But he says, as a shepherd. He said he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. As a shepherd. All he's doing is saying who's who at that time. All you're doing is waking up to who you already were. He's not changing goats to sheep and sheep to goats. He's just dividing them. He's dividing those that agreed with the word over here and those that can't agree with the word over there. Oh, my. See, this church world will have you thinking so many different thoughts, have you working so many ways. But it's just easy to follow the Lord. Matter of fact, when he said it to the disciples, he said, just come and go with me. Yeah. That's it. Oh, where are we going? It don't matter. What are we going to do? It don't matter. How far we got to walk? It don't matter. Where are we going to lay? It doesn't matter. Just come and go with me. That's how it is when we come in here to serve God. I just come here and, Lord, who's going to preach? It don't matter. Who's going to sing? It don't matter. How long are we going to be there? It don't matter. When are we going to have another service? It don't matter. Just come and go with me. Come and go with me to my Father's house. See, when you really understand what's here, you'll go, my, come see a man that told me all things. All things. We already done preached from Genesis to Revelations right now. You know that? We done went from Genesis to Revelations already in 10 minutes. This is somebody that can tell you all things, that sees themselves in the book and everywhere, every space. I can go to any scripture and pull myself out. Amen. Oh, my. Because when you understand what we understand, I'm not worried like the rest of the world is worried. See, I even like, you're talking about that Hattie Wright thing again. That gets me stirred up as well. It's because my wife said it right. She said, had Hattie Wright known what we know, she would ask for something else. So, since you know what you know,
ask for something else.
Amen. Your loved ones are taken care of. Yes, you're taken care of. Ask for something else. That's already given. That's already included. That's been paid for. Ask for something else.
Come on.
See, because I won't you pray for some more understanding?
Yeah.
Won't you pray for this? I mean, because what happens in this thing is we let the world just get on us so much that it just distracts us so much from what God is really calling us to do.
Right.
You know, we have a job to get the debt up.
Yeah.
That's our job.
That's right.
I hate to break it to you, but God is just gleaning the fields now.
Right.
It's not going to be a mass exodus of people wanting to come to church. It's not going to be a mass exodus of people leaving the Catholic Church wanting to come over here. It's not like that. He's just gleaning the field now. It's one here, one there, one here, one there. Why? Because it's end time. It's harvest time. It's over. Oh, my. We're too blessed. We are too blessed. I mean, you think about the word that we're getting in here. Not only are you getting word that's taking care of you, not only are you getting stuff that's taking care of your family, you're getting stuff that's taking care of people that love you.
Amen.
That love you. Brother Branham said that his horse that loved him so much was there.
Yeah.
His dog that loved him so much was there.
Amen.
See, I even like how Brother Branham even said it. He said, it's better than good.
Yeah.
It's no word can describe it.
Right.
It got so good for Brother Branham that Brother Branham didn't want to come back. Now, this is one of the most revelated men preaching the word. God's talking to him. God's moving in him. He knows he's got a work to do. And he's like, nah, I want to stay here. You know, because we had one person one that time was getting sick, and they said, you know, when I get over there, I'm going to come back and tell y'all how it is. Brother Childers was like, nah, you won't want to come back. You won't come back. You won't come back. It took an act of God to get Brother Branham back. You're not coming back. You get over there, you're not coming back. You just like, I'll see you when you get here. That's what they're doing. They're pulling like, I'll see you when you get here. And matter of fact, and this is just what I love about it, see, because the church will have you thinking that everybody's got to die, but there's another scripture, another prophecy that says that those are that are alive and remain. That means there's going to be a group changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
Glory.
That's who you're talking about, this group.
Amen.
There's not another voice coming. There's not another prophecy coming. There's not another prophet for the Gentile bride that's coming.
Yes, sir.
Oh, the next prophets that come, they're going to be for the Jews.
Yes, sir. Come on.
We'll be raptured by then.
Yes, sir.
We will have been changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
That scripture's talking about us.
Amen.
You go through there, it's like, I see prophecies talking about us all the way through. Matter of fact, over in the book of Revelations, John said, blessed are those that read and understand the words of this prophecy.
Amen.
Why? Because the time is at hand.
Yeah.
What time? End of time.
Yeah,
oh, everything's over now. The things have been wrapped up. We've been sharing the good news for years, and now it's time to go.
Amen.
Oh, my. There had to come a time when Noah stopped talking to them.
That's right.
There had to come a time when the children of Israel were no longer in bondage. There had to come a time that Jesus couldn't just walk around and do whatever he wanted to do. There had to come a time of manifestation of what you were called here to do. And that's what we're doing right now. We're preaching this rapture. This is the manifestation of everything that they've been prophesying about.
Amen.
There had to be a group of people. It couldn't just be one person either. It had to be a many-membered bride body that was preaching this thing.
That's right.
See, because that even takes away those ideologies of where one person gets so exalted. Can't be. It's not prophesied like that. It's got to be a body ministry. It's got to be a many-membered body. It's got to be multiple things coming together. That's why Brother Warren can say, they should be able to say out there, they're revelated just like we're revelated. They should be able to boast at their church just like we're boasting our church. It's a many-member body. We're just a part of it. It's a many-member body. This thing goes around the world. This thing goes from city to city. It went from the east to the west.
Yes.
Of course, there's going to be believers from the east to the west.
Amen.
I'm just thanking God that I know I'm one of them.
Amen.
I thank God that I saw my name in the book. I thank God that I know I got this thing.
Amen.
That's what I thank God for.
Amen.
That's what gives me the ability to judge everything right. It's because I see myself.
Right.
Oh, when you see yourself, you know how bad you are. You know how bad you are. Oh, I think I'm good. You're a liar too then. Because everybody came into this world. Lies, full of sin, Nobody was worthy. Matter of fact, John, the greatest man in shoe leather, read through the book and said, nobody's worthy. He wasn't worthy. Oh, my, my, my. You born of a woman think you're worthy? You needed a God. We all needed God. See, we don't have too much for somebody to get self-righteous. I can't stand it. Because that means you don't know the book. All you're doing is proving that you don't know what you're saying you know. The more self-righteous you are, the more separated you are from the book of that. Because if you're so self-righteous, you got to throw out what Jesus did when they brought that woman caught in the act of adultery. You would have thrown a rock. Matter of fact, what did he say? He said, he that is without sin. He didn't stop them from throwing the rocks. As a matter of fact, get them. Get the biggest one you got. Line them up, boys. Let's do this. Amen. Whoever is without sin, you just go first. Yeah. Right. And he looked up. Where are your accusers? Where are those self-righteous people that drug you out here for judgment, that wanted me to condemn you? See, that was a different answer, because what happened, you even saw with the mic, Brother Isaiah said, you got to keep up with God. You do got to keep up with God, because John the Baptist would have thrown a rock. But when grace and truth came on the scene, it was a whole different understanding of what God's been trying to do. You know, in the Old Testament, they had the Ten Commandments. That was the way, God's way there. But as you progress, Jesus was showing them, y'all can't keep them anyway. You can't keep any of them anyway. You need grace. Amen. You need grace. That's why I'm here. Somebody needs to pay the price. Yes. Because all you were doing was pushing your all you were doing was pushing your sins forward. Right. Matter of fact, when they would go sacrifice at the temples, they were just pushing their sins forward. Yes. They were never paying it. No. They were just transferring the debt to some next year, to the following year, to the next year. They still had the same amount of debt that they owed, and it was just getting greater and greater and greater. If they couldn't pay a year one, then by year 33, it was too much. Somebody had to come and pay the price for all sin. See, when you have a true understanding of this, you can truly say Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. He paid it all. Because I don't, there enough, you can serve, you can be in a church for 30 years. If you don't have this revelation, at the end of that 30 years, if you walk away, you're going to put condemnation on yourself. That's all you'll do. We've seen it time after time. Those people that follow the messages and then they just find some little ism, schism, and be off. And, oh no, I can't believe Brother Branham. He hunted out a season. I mean, we see it. They do it all the time. Send the books back. Send them back. Read them. Read them. Matter of fact, Brother Branham said, I'm just hitting the highlights. There are going to be some brothers that come along to break this down. Won't you be looking for those brothers? Won't you find you a man that's bringing it word upon word, precept upon precept? That's what the prophet said would happen. He didn't say he was coming back. He said there are going to be a group of people that's going to break this down. Thank God we're one of those people that can break this down. That's what I rejoice about. Oh, I could care less what he hunted out of season. I don't care. You made up the season anyway.
Man's law,
trying to corner God in. God is free, free, free. Man puts up fences and God just keeps the doors open the whole time. Yeah. They do that all the time. Man, they'll put in fences on how to get to church. What you got to look like to come in here. What you got to sound like when you get here. How you got to sing it. How you got to talk it. How they keep putting up fences the whole way through. And the whole way God's just saying, all it takes to get to heaven is a glass of water. A glass of water. He didn't make it hard. He said, the jailer said, how can I be saved?
Yes.
Did they make it hard?
No,
did they make it hard? You go, well, Paul made it easy on the jailer. Jesus would have did something different. What did Jesus do? Brother Jeremiah, you read that scripture. What did Jesus do when he was on the cross? They were sitting there, those two people. One was like, oh, man, trash. And that guy was like, you know he don't deserve to be here. You know he's paying the price for everybody else. He didn't do anything. We deserve to be here.
Right.
Lord, hush up over here on that guy. Jesus, remember me.
Right.
Just remember me.
Amen.
He believed the man of the hour. Yes, he believed who God had sent that day. Amen. Jesus said, this day, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, not after you pay penance, not after we get down and baptize. He said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Amen. See, I like a God like that. Amen. I don't want to serve a God that I got to work my way into. I want a God that can change my very nature like that. Amen. See, we put too many limits on God. We think it's going to take too long for God to move. It don't take God to move. How big is your faith? Amen. You want God to answer you tonight? Let him answer you tonight. Oh, when I pray for instant God. Amen. I want God on the scene right now. Amen. You're telling me you never leave me, never forsake me? Then answer me. Amen. See, when you got God in flesh, you can get an answer right now. Amen. When he's in a cloud somewhere, when he's off to the side, when he's in made up places, you can't get an answer. When you got to look in the clouds and hope they align, that's not God being able to give you an instant answer. Because that's left room for your own interpretation. But when you got a man with flesh and blood on the scene that can speak the words of God to you, you can hear from God right now.
Amen.
Amen. You got that kind of faith, you come into every service with expectations. Yes. I come in every service expectation. Right. Lord, help thou my unbelief. Yes. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I come here not to judge this one, not to judge that one. I'm coming here because I need to be corrected. I need it. I need the word. Oh, that's why it doesn't matter if somebody comes or doesn't come. Because I need the word. I need to eat. I need this fellowship. I need the word of God for the hour. I need to know who I need to be dealing with. You know, getting this word that we've been getting is teaching us how to deal with everybody. It's teaching you how to be level-headed with everybody. Oh, it was a time we'd be like, oh, I'm sending this person to hell, that person to hell. No, don't act like you didn't do it. Oh, okay, I was the only one there. I remember y'all had stamps. That wasn't postage paid. You were sending people to hell. You would think, oh. Now, you've been here long enough, now you're like, Lord, give them another chance. Give them another chance. Just somehow, Lord, where there's breath, there's hope. That's progression. That's growth. That's understanding. That's what should happen when you mature. You should be better off. You shouldn't be coming to church for 100 years and be worse. You should be better. You should be more loving, more forgiving. If you've been serving God a long time, you should be so sweet, so ready just to open the doors. Oh, I get it. And the first time you're thinking, well, they may have to do what I have to do. They may have to do, maybe in the beginning when you were a child. But as you grow and mature, there should be an understanding here that you're a little bit more open to see that God likes a variety. God wants a God of variety. Oh, see, the more I look into this thing, it makes me more secure of who I am. I just look at that and say, God likes me how I am. God wanted me this way. You know, Brother Dwayne, you talked about how God put you and Sister Johanna together to get the kids that he got to do what he had to do. He had to work for you. So he had to do that. God had to work for me. So he had to do that. He had to put my parents how he had to put them. He had to put my grandparents how he had to put them. He had to live in a certain place. You know, it's not by chance that we got the pastor we got.
No.
We needed a man like that in this hour. Oh, God given us everything we needed in the hour that we needed. When there was arguments and fights, we needed a Brother Childers. We needed somebody that was going to say, no, let's fight right now. That's what this congregation needed. That's what we needed. That's what we did. Then it turned into a neurotic age, where we needed a different type of leadership. We needed somebody that had a different type, different leadership style. And we've been flourishing under both leadership styles all the way home. Why? Because God knew what you needed. God took care of you before you got here. God had this thing all set up. You know, see, this is what I love about this. God's word is going to happen regardless. You know, we got the story of Abraham and Sarah. And that's a story we talk about a lot. It's a beautiful story. But it's God getting what he said he was going to do regardless. See, there's a side of that story that don't sound so good. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham believed God. Sarah didn't. Well, you know how that started. She laughed. How is this going to happen? Sarah doubted God a long way through. Until Sarah had the baby, she doubted God. You go, Brother Jay, come on. Down to Sarah. No, I'm not. That's the story. Sarah so much disbelieved that she was the one to have the baby. She didn't disbelieve that Abraham could have a baby. She started seeing Abraham change, and she was like, well, maybe just God meant you're going to have a baby, maybe just not by me. So she said, why don't you get Hagar? She's real pretty. She's one of my mates. You take Hagar, and that'll be the promised seed that God was talking about. That wasn't. That wasn't God's faith seed. That wasn't God's way. That's not what he had told them. Hagar wasn't in the room when God said, y'all having a baby. He wasn't talking to Hagar. He was talking to Abraham and Sarah. So much so that when Sarah did finally have that baby, Hagar was a reminder of unbelief. And they fought the whole way through. Abraham had to eventually say, Hagar, you and this baby got to go. God's promise still stayed true. God's word still stayed true. God still kept his seed all the way through. Even when Sarah passed on, Abraham still had more kids. God's seed still came all the way through that. Regardless, what I'm getting at is that no matter what happens, God's word is going to happen. What God said he's going to do, he will do. You think about David. David was the worst person in the Bible. The most public, terrible display of adultery that ever happened. He killed the man. But from that, God's word came through. God had to get his word across. And it's not even, I'm not even saying those two examples of Rahab or any other thing to tell you to go be bad. I don't want you to be bad. Because those people suffered. They suffered. So if we can tell you some good advice not to suffer, please listen. Please follow the instructions. Please listen and obey. But even if you don't, God's word is still going to come to pass. What God said he's going to do, he's going to do it. When God said that let there be, it doesn't matter what had to happen and change to make let there be matter. When he said that the true believer will turn quickly to the word, it doesn't matter how he's got to get that turn to happen. You will turn quickly to the word. You will. He said it. That's his promise. See, I don't want to leave room for Satan at all. I don't want you to leave Satan in there at all. Like, oh, he can make this. He can make that. No. You're a believer. You saw your name in the book. You know that you can overcome this. You know you're a strong person. You know he said you're more than conquerors. Don't let Satan take you down the back road for anything. Don't even think you got tricked by Satan. We come too far, saints. We come too far to let anybody's life ruin our testimony with God. We know how to judge all of us. We know, and especially your brothers and sisters. Oh, come on now. It should be easy. It should be easy. You know, I'm kind of like how Brother John was when he saw the people coming into church. He's like, my precious brothers and sisters, it's been so long. I'm so glad to see you. Amen. Whether it's from Wednesday to Sunday, Sunday to Wednesday, it doesn't matter. I'm glad to see a believer. Amen. You know how hard it is to be able to believe? It's supernaturally given. Amen. You can't read this up. You can't study this up. There's not enough books that you can get that's going to bring you into this thing. This has got to be supernaturally given. Matter of fact, when Jesus was talking to the disciple, he said, he said, my Father in heaven had to reveal this to you. Flesh and blood couldn't reveal this to you. I don't care how easy I break it down. I can take a steak and cut it down to chicken nugget size. If you don't have the word of God in you already, you'll never be able to pick it up. Amen. Oh, I can make this. And why? You know what? Why would you not want this? Amen. Why? I had somebody years ago wanted to tell me, God, you can't just take who you want. Why would you not? Why would you not? Why would you not want to serve a God? I don't want to serve a God that only has three seats at the table. I don't want to serve a God that didn't plan for what I want. That's not an omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. That's not an all-present knowing God. That's somebody that just got caught unaware. No, I want to serve a God that knows it all. Amen. I want a God that wants what I want. Matter of fact, what did Jesus say? He said, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. Right. He said, I'm going to prepare a place just for you. Amen. See, that's a good husband. Yeah. I'm preparing a place just for you. That's what God's been doing for us. That's what we get in here. And that's why I love the fact that Brother Jeremiah, that we understand we can know every man we meet. We know how to judge everything right. And we don't get caught by surprise on anything. Nothing trips me up. Nothing trips me up. And you go, Brother Jay, how can you say that? Well, because I saw my name in the book. I saw my name in the book. Yeah. And when I saw my name there, as I was turning the pages to get to the P's, I saw some other names. When I saw other names listed, I knew that Wesley would be okay. Well, I knew that Luther would be okay. I knew that Columba would be okay. Irenaeus, Martin, Paul, I knew they'd be okay. Because before, if you don't know that, you don't even know how to build the body. It's not even building up a body if you're only saving yourself. It's not even a joy. Matter of fact, it's not even a joy to be by yourself. God said, it's not good that man should dwell alone. When you get something really good, it's only really, really good when you can start to share it. That's what God saw. He saw, man, I got something good here. I want to share this. That's what Adam saw. I got something good here. I want to share this. I want to fellowship. God's condescending plan was to be able to get in man and share this thing. That's what I'm looking forward to. I don't want to limit anybody. I want to open it up for anybody, whosoever will. Whosoever will. But there's the other side of that. You know, we always got this saying where it says, two sides of baloney, no matter how thin you slice it. I can be just as sweet as everybody in here thinks I am. I can be just as nice as everybody in here thinks I am. I can break this down just as simple as everybody in here thinks I can. But there's a group of people that don't want this no matter how you slice it. No matter how you prepare it, no matter what you do, no matter how nice you are, no matter how many hospitals you build, no matter how much money you give to the poor, no matter how much any of those things, there's people that will never be able to pick this up. I thank God I'm not in that group. I thank God that all it took was just one agreeance with the word. And he burned out that old nature. It didn't take building a hospital. It didn't take donating. It didn't take joining a church. It didn't. Matter of fact, in some of the services Brother Branham preaches, he doesn't even have them come to the altar. He's like, just stand where you are. Give your heart right now. I thank God that I didn't have to do any of those things. I just recognized my day in this message, and that was enough. Amen. I recognize that God is in man, and that man is speaking to me, and he's told me everything. Everything makes sense. There was times I'd read the stories in the Bible, and they were just stories. They were folk tales. But now I'm looking through there and saying, that's my brothers and sisters. Those are my people that were walking with me. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ is my brother. Amen. See, the church world will have all these different hierarchies, have all these different laws, all these different rituals. I thank God that I've got a righteous judge that taught me what is right. That I'm no longer trying to decide who can make it and who can't. All I'm doing is putting the word out there, and if they can pick it up, come and go with me. Amen. God bless you. Pastor Moore.
I love the fact that God makes it simple. We have struggled for so many years trying to be good enough, trying to offer God the right gift, trying to make God love us. That's what we were trying. We were trying to make God love us. God, if God loves you, he always loved you. He didn't have to make himself love you. He always loved you. We love him because he loved us. Amen. And we're trying to convince God how good we are, that now we're ready and worthy to make this journey, and that we can now go to heaven because we've done this. That's like the rich young ruler. He had been a good old boy, and he'd done a lot of good things, and he did everything right. Matter of fact, when Jesus started walking with him, and he started listing the stuff, the thous and thou shalt nots, and he's like, got it.
Done.
Been there. Did that.
Yep.
From my youth.
Yeah.
Love my parents.
Right.
Got it. And everything Jesus, everybody else backing up like, whoa.
Yeah.
I told my daddy off. And, I did this and I did that. And this one, got it. And Jesus like, man. He said, okay, you know what? He said, did all this from my youth.
Perfect.
See, he wasn't a believer.
No.
He was just a good liver.
People think they're going to heaven because they're good livers. They're not going to heaven because they're good livers.
No.
There's a lot of good livers that aren't going to heaven.
Right.
And he got to the last thing, and Jesus almost had to give in and let him come. He's like, well, sounds to me like you got your act together. Yep. Sounds to me like you did everything right.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
Right.
I got one more thing to tell you to do. Now, I know you've done all these other things. Now, just... I need you to sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And he's like, oh, if you'd asked me for an offering, I'd give you a big one. If you'd asked me to build your house, I'd have built you one, and you could have had church in it. I'd have done all the stuff. I have the money. I have the means. I can make it. I can make you, Jesus, you'd never have to walk again.
Right.
But you want me to give the one thing that I can't do.
Yeah.
And Jesus, you know what? Jesus could have started with that.
Oh, yeah, he could have started with that. Right.
But for you and I,
we
needed to understand that it's not by your goodness.
Amen.
That's what kills me about people who think they live good. They think because they don't do this, they don't do that, or they do this, or they do that, or they're going to run down that list just like that rich young ruler, and they think they got it all together, and don't bit more love the word, and then you got a ragtag team, called Matthew, tax collector. Have you ever seen any good tax collectors?
No.
Mark, Luke, John, a doctor. A hothead, Peter. Jesus' ragtag team didn't have nothing going. He looked awful going through town. Here he's going through town. He got this group following him. They're just the worst of the worst. Then got this prostitute following him. And Mary's his mother, they already had questions about her and her past. And everybody that was with Jesus looked like they were the worst of the worst.
Right.
He didn't have any good people with him.
No.
The best person he had that lived the best was Judas.
Yeah.
He was the best one out of the lot. The rest of them were hothead, thieves, robbers, fighters.
Right.
Such were some of you. But he didn't come after those people. And matter of fact, when everybody looked at Jesus and his ragtag team, they thought, there's no way that man believes God. He eats corn he picks corn on the Sabbath. He eats with unwashed hands. He heals people on the Sabbath and tells them to get up and take their bed when he knows the law said they can't carry their bed on the Sabbath. He didn't do nothing right. And then he has this history, but we know that we are our fathers. Abraham. In other words, and you know what they were telling him? We know who our daddy is. But you don't know who your daddy is. They were trying to say he's a bastard. And a marriage slept around and got pregnant. That's what they're trying to say. That's what the church people were saying. And like the young blind man said after he got healed by Jesus, they said, don't you know he's this and that? And those disciples of his are this and that. Mary Magdalene, and you don't want to. They said all this stuff about Jesus, and the man said, look, all that could be true. I won't even debate the issue, but all I know, see, you can only talk from this. That's the way believers talk. All I know, you may be 100% right about all that this guy has done wrong, but all I know is I was blind, but now I see. That's all I know. That's all I can talk to. That's all, you know, over the years when I was walking with Brother Children, because we look like the oddest couple ever. Big, tall, skinny black guy, short, old white man. Everywhere he went, I went. Every church he went to, I'd go to. We look like the oddest friends ever. And seem like, and people always tried to split us up. Brother Children would tell me, Brother Moore, we're gonna have. I just told we're gonna have a split. I said, where are we going, Brother Childers? Because wherever he goes, I'm going. We looked like the oddest. And over the years, they never liked Brother Childers because he was a straight cutter. He cut. He loved the word, and if you didn't love the word, he was gonna give it to you anyway. So that got him a name. And I told him all the time, I said, Brother Childers, I get hit with rocks just because I stand next to you. But the one thing I know, you might say this about him. You might say that. That's what I always said. You might be right. Brother Childers might be this, might be that. You could be right. I don't know. But all I know is I was blind, but now I see. I was a denominational-minded man, had traditions up to here.
Amen.
And come here, and the Word of God took all that off of me.
Yeah, come on.
And all I know is when I got under the Word, it took my blindness away from me.
Amen.
That's a believer for you.
Yeah.
That's the way the believers talk.
Right.
They don't worry about the name brand. They don't worry about what other people think. You know, when you get this thing just right as a believer, you don't care what people think.
That's right.
They say you're not going, you don't even believe that. You don't worry about that.
No.
I'm going despite you.
Right.
I'm going even though you say I'm not going. Oh, I might look like a wreck to you, but you know what? You don't know how to judge me. That's why I look like a wreck. But if you can judge me according to the Word of God, you know I'm perfect.
Amen.
Amen.
People spend too much time trying to figure each other out.
Right.
I'm so glad God made it easy.
Right.
It's easy to be saved.
Amen.
I didn't see it hard for anybody that Jesus called. Nathaniel, I saw you when you're under the tree. Man without God, come on. This one, come on, this one. And you know what? Some people Jesus would say, don't come.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't take everybody. See, people think he just come and took everybody. No. He would look at you, and if there was a reason that you needed to be with him,
right.
He would say, come follow me.
Right.
There's one man he healed, and he had a revival, getting ready to love. He's like, woo, Jesus, I'm coming with you. Jesus said, oh, no, you're not. You go home, and don't tell anybody I did it. See, believers follow the Word. They don't worry. And that's why people have told me, and they've tried to get me over the years to sit some of y'all down,
right.
Kick some of y'all out,
yeah.
Tell some of you off, preach on you and everything else. And I'm like, but they keep coming back. They love the Word. They keep coming back. They love the Word. Well, they got problems here. They got problems there. So do you. So do I. We all got problems. There's nobody in here. He who is without the sin, and without sin, let him cast in this church the first stone. We all need God's grace. Brother Branham said at the end time, the bride's going to be crying what?
Grace.
Grace, grace, grace. That's all she's got. Grace, because she is the final voice to the final age, and all we're doing is walking around finding believers. That's it. That's it. I had a lady who flew into town. She's working with me for the next couple of days. And she's with me today, and I've watched her all day. And she would say, oh, Lord Jesus, help me, Jesus. And I'm like, that's a little bit of Christianity about her. So I just let her go all day. Then I said, well, I'm going to take you to lunch. So I took her to lunch, and we got there, set at the table. I said, would it offend you if I pray over our meal? Because I said, I already set her up. I know, I already knew. She said, if you didn't, I was going to pray over mine when it got here. So, see, the thing is, you can find believers everywhere. Oh, she don't believe the message. She don't even know. You know what? You know why she loves God? Because she loves me. She told me later on the day, she said, the day was good, the meal was good, and the company was better.
Amen.
She's talking about God. She's talking about God. Because she told me about her experience the day before, and I got tickled because she told the manager to drop her, take her by somewhere to get something to eat because she don't know the area. And she said that manager took her right back to the office, didn't take her nowhere, didn't offer nothing. She said, man. But see, the next day, then came Jesus. You know? And the thing about it, we're so used to making it hard for people to go to heaven that we don't even understand that Jesus didn't make it hard.
No.
He made it so simple. All you got to do is believe. Brother Branham preached and he sang that song every service. Because why? He was trying to get us only to believe.
Amen.
If you can believe the Word of God, that means God is in you, because you cannot believe the Word if you're not of God. And if you can believe the Word of God, that means you're a part of God. You come from God. And God is on a mission to get a piece of Him back.
Right.
And then you wonder why you love the word. You don't even know why you don't know why you come to church. You don't know why you love the word. It's just something about it. You can't even put your finger on it. You said there's something about it. I don't understand. But where the rest of the world says there's nothing to it, I'm sitting there looking and said, but I see. The rest of the world don't want it. And you're like, you gonna eat that? You can pass that over here. See, believers will eat the word of God. We can't help it. If I don't even live it up to what I believe, I believe what I believe.
Amen.
I don't think anybody here lives up to what they believe.
No.
Come on, you can be honest. Right. This is family night.
Yeah.
This is family night. Y'all can say amen. You know, y'all know y'all ain't living up to what you believe.
Right.
Oh, I believe more than I live.
Right.
Amen.
Just because I can't live it doesn't mean I don't believe it.
Right.
Brother Branham said, God didn't ask you if you can live it. He asked if you can believe it.
I believe it.
Right. As long as you're saying amen to every word, don't worry about it.
Amen.
As long as when the word comes forth and you say it's right, don't worry about it.
Amen.
You say, but I got this problem, I got that problem. Don't worry about it. You're a believer.
Amen.
And God will take care of you because you come from him, and he's going to make sure you go back to him.
Amen.
Every believer will go back to God.
Amen.
I don't care what condition you're in. You say, oh, my car is all putting and sputtering, and I got water in the gas tank, and I got dents on this, and broken windows, and I got problems here and problems there, and I'm all messed up. Don't worry about your mess.
Amen. Come on.
By the time you get there, you will be exactly what God saw you before the foundation of the world, without any problems.
Amen.
You're going to believe yourself right into heaven.
Amen.
That's what believers do. That's why we are the way we are. I might not get a lot of things right, but I sure have the word right.
Amen.
I might be not able to do a lot of things, but I sure can do the word.
Amen.
I might not be able to live a lot of things, but I can manifest the word of God with every heartbeat. People think that's something you got to do. No. When I say you manifest the word with every heartbeat, you are the living word of God.
Yes.
And you're not trying to make this happen. It's happening despite you. Oh, you know you're a wreck. And somehow God still comes out of you. Somehow you still believe the word. Somehow you still manifest the word of the hour. We are the children when our hearts turn back. We are the final voice to the final age. We are the spirit and the bride. Does they come out through you? Every bit of the scriptures that's talking about you is living out through you, and you don't even have to do nothing but just breathe. Oh my, it's good to be a believer.
Amen.
It's good to know that God has us.
Yes.
Brother Colby, you got anything to say tonight? You're sitting awful quiet back there. I don't like to just not give you a chance. I know some nights you just want to come in.
I like a little quietness, but I like a lot of noise.
I like both too.
Yeah, I was sitting back there praying. I thought, well, you know, if he asked me, you know, how can you not? How can you not?
That's what I'm saying.
How many enjoyed last Wednesday night?
Oh, yes.
Amen.
All right. Well, I got to tell you this. Last night, from that night until last night was the first night since then I got to actually sleep in my own bed and relax a little bit. That night after that meeting, he's just out there seeking whom he can devour.
Right.
And so we got home and relaxed a little bit. And that night that next morning we had to get up about 3 o'clock in the morning and head to Florida. I had a cousin pass away.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, we're getting ready to head down there to Florida. And just as we're about ready to get in the bed from that really good service, you just get that phone call. And so anyway, there's a fellow in our church that had passed away, and we just had seen him last Sunday, just out of the blue, just goes, and that's sometimes how it goes,
mm-hmm.
You know, God just takes you when it's time.
Right.
It's like that when you're baking cookies, you hear that ding.
Mm-hmm.
It's time, you know.
Amen.
So, but you know, the church we go to up there in Bluffton, I've got to see people raise their kids in a godly way, and there's this one family that I used to go to this one church with, and then there was a church split, and then I we kind of split together and went off to, you know, to a little more truth and a little more truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched how they raised their kids and their daughters. And you know, I know that it's not through holiness and it's through those things that we make it. It's through His blood.
Mm-hmm.
But the holiness has its place.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes, it does.
And, you know, my dad, back when I was in the world, I know he didn't like smoking. You think I smoked around him? No.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like cuss words. You think I ever cussed around him? No.
Mm-hmm.
But did he know I was out smoking and cussing? He knew. But when I was drawing in a breath of my cigarette, I was still just as much as his son as I am standing here testifying
That's right.
about the things of God.
Amen.
You see? So anyway, I watched these people raise their children. And this one family raised these couple little daughters and a son. And I mean, they were just holiness. And it wasn't just the look.
Mm-hmm.
It was from the inside out.
Right.
They had it. They had it all.
Mm-hmm.
They had it all. So anyway, one of their daughters grows up and kind of goes off into the world and to doing her thing. And then this other daughter, she just somehow got that a hold of God at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never seen her stray. And she just prayed and prayed and prayed for a good husband to come along. Like somebody said tonight, pick somebody godly.
Right.
You know, you don't want to pick somebody like the devil,
mm-hmm.
you know. So she met this young boy. And he was the same way. I watched his family, and they had six or seven boys. And they raised him to work hard and to go to church and to serve God and to just be kind to their fellow man, but yet, mm-hmm. you know, make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this little boy and this young girl, they got together, and everybody's like, wow, that's the couple. I mean, they were just so humble and just so, you know. So anyway, they end up getting married a couple years ago, and they finally got him a nice little home out in the country. They had him a dog and got pregnant with their first little baby. And you just were like, man, I wish my kids could be like that.
Right.
I wish my, you know. And so they were just that, oh, you know. So we got a phone call on the way whenever we was about ready to go to bed that Wednesday night, last Wednesday night. And while we were having church here right before church, it was about 6 o'clock in that evening, they had a little fire. Well, they had a problem with their furnace and their central air. So he calls another brother that's real good friends with him that is a minister, and I might be bringing him here too sometime. But he called him over to check on his furnace, and he goes, you know what? I'll be right there. I'll get to, you know, basically get the kids together, because they were real good friends. So this other preacher friend that does Eden Air, he's got his wife and three or four kids, and he's getting ready to bring them all over. But for some reason, he said he sat down in the chair and he fell asleep. He fell fast asleep. And you know, God has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he fell fast asleep, next thing you know, he was being woken up with a phone call just maybe 30 minutes later. The young couple, they went down to the basement. He's trying to fix it himself, you know, and or try to get a head start on his buddy. And a little fire sparked, and it hit the gas line. And he's 23, she's 21, a little baby, and they had their dog right there. And when that gas line hit, it just made just splinters out of the whole place. And so we were getting that news that night, and it just took all their lives. But godly young people, and yet, can you imagine if they weren't, and in that split second where they would have been? But yet the whole church really were sad and just heartbroken,
mm-hmm.
but they were rejoicing.
Right.
Because could you imagine if it would have been her sister that was still out in the world, you mm-hmm. know, or whatever? But I know, you know, if you're of him, you go back to him.
Right.
And that she might have just been on that other path. So anyway, me and my brother, we still had to get up and go to Florida and deal with all that down there, and we was able to be somewhat of a witness, you know, to some of the family up there. And we went to church with, well, actually, my brother was loading the car, and we had our Bibles in the car. He goes, well, should we take these? I said, no, we're going to find us a church probably. You never know.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Brother Branham said, you at least find a slice of bread.
That's right.
You know? And so I've always found a slice of bread wherever I went. So anyway, we went to this church with some of our family members up there, and it's huge, 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 big church. And I'm sorry I'm taking a minute, but
That's
it's just,
right.
you know, I'm going, it's up here. So, anyway, me and my brother, we went to this church, and as we walked in, I mean, it just like a coliseum almost. And as we're walking in, the church is about ready to start. And all at once, all the lights went down, and we're walking to our seat. And we're looking, the lights are going down. And next thing you know, these, like, not strobe lights, but these, like you'd see in a concert, you know.
Spotlights.
They start spotting. And then here comes a praise team out there. And we're thinking, okay. And then here comes the music. And there's an uncertain sound that you hear. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's rock and roll is what it is.
Right.
They may put some gospel words to it, but it's a rock and roll beat. And it's really hard whenever I hear Christian rock.
Right.
Okay, they're the two opposites. Rock and roll is rebellious. Mm-hmm. And just, they always, even the world, they say sex, drugs, and rock and roll. They put all that together. But Christian music is holy.
Right.
And it's to worship, you know. So next thing you know, wow. Here they go. We start walking further, closer to our seat, you know, trying to get closer to the family, you know, so we can get back to the nest back here. So anyway, this is one thing I've really never not noticed in a church, but me and my brother's looking around, and there's only like two of us in that whole church that had Bibles, and we didn't even go to that church, and we was on vacation. Mm-hmm. We had our Bible. Nobody, even the pastor and the preacher got up, didn't have a Bible, and it was his message was... this is my day, you know. This is my, well, today's the Lord's day, you know. We're welcome to it, you know. But you can take it however you want to take it. But it was just one of those services, and I'm 52 years old, and I've been in a lot of churches. That's the only church, and you ask my brother, that we came out of there without even a crumb. We didn't even have a slice of. We didn't get. There was nothing in there. It just made us sick, and even we both. I mean, our heart. You could feel our heart. Pounding, because the piano player, you never even heard him. It was all the drums all over everything, and it was just one of them things, one of them situations. And you know, he didn't get up and say, well, could you turn with me, like you said, brother, you know, to Ezekiel or to Genesis or whatever. We're like, wow. And it was so confusing. We're just sitting there kind of confused, and we know who the author of that is,
right?
And so they have this big banner up there. There was no crosses or pictures of Jesus or anything in there, but they did have their logo, you know, and it was POA up there, and it was Pentecostals of Apopka, Florida, POA, but yet they weren't Pentecostals. They were apostolics, but they called themselves the Pentecostals of Apopka. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, because I was talking to my family there later, and I said, so you guys are Pentecostals. Oh, no, we're apostolics, but you're the Pentecostals of Apopka. Well, yeah, but we don't believe like the Pentecostals. Well, you call yourself Pentecostals. Well, you know, I was like, wow, you know. So, but anyway, needless to say, we had just a, we had a lot of hay on our forks, man, to talk to our, you know, family with, you know. But it's in your approach. And,
that's
you know,
right.
Jesus always had the right approach. I mean, even when I was sitting in the bar, I remember down in Dayton, I was down on Brown Street in this bar, and I'm sitting there. I liked mixed drinks at the time, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking around at all these hundreds of people in this bar, and I'm seeing devils on them and crawling on them and things like that, and I'm like, you guys need God. You know? And I'm sitting there like, wow, you know? I had more than 4 point back at me, but yet God knew who I was.
Amen.
I just didn't know who I was. At the time. And so, but wow, I just, like I say, I just, my heart's been, I'm human. So
amen.
You cry a few tears this week.
Right.
And you think, wow, that could have been my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could have been, wow, you know, and to think of the little baby and but yet God took them like that.
Right.
And, you know, they were 23 and 21. And, you know, you think in your glorified body, that's about,
what
you'll look like. So
yeah.
Everybody at church saying, well, you won't mistake them, you know, when you get over there. But I do thank God for just, like, whoever said that, you know, you just have such freedom here.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's too much freedom, but sometimes there's not enough freedom.
That's right.
But sometimes you just, like a recipe, you just got to make that right mixture of, you know, what it is. And if it glorifies God, it's the right mixture.
Amen.
You know, there's church order.
Mm-hmm.
But church order to me is when he stays in the building.
That's it.
When he stays in the building, then that's church order, because he's not ashamed of this.
Mm-mm.
But when he takes flight, you know, in a group like, well, like that church up there, you know, when he took flight, me and my brother just wanted to go out the door with him,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, I mean, Jesus was in that building.
Right.
But we brought him.
That's right. Amen.
You know, we didn't go there to see him. We were, believe it or not, we were the ones. And I was ended up talking to the pastor there. And it, honestly, I don't like mentioning names and stuff, but he was like Joel Osteen.
Mm-hmm.
That was the, what the whole church was. And it was just how it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were so thankful. And my little nephew back here, well, he's a big nephew. But anyway, he called me last night or this morning. He goes, "Hey, are you going to that church in Fairborn tonight?" And be honest with you, I'm worn out.
Oh,
and I was thinking about not coming. Mm-hmm. But when somebody you've been praying for.
Amen. Amen.
Long time. Says, "Are you going?"
Amen.
You bet I'm going.
I'm going. Amen.
Let me go home, take a shower, and I'll be right over. I mean, so you know, his mother was my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, man, you know, my boy won't talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
But my sister's boy will.
Oh, yeah.
I can take him and bless him with everything, just like, you know, Christ. He'll adopt you.
Yeah,
if you want to be his son,
that's right.
You can be his son. And listen, I'm just glad that I'm one of them.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I'm so glad that I can say that. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Come on, musicians. Now, I got a text today. Yeah, it was a text today from Brother Bean. And he's going to be with us a week from Sunday. So he's going to be ministering a week from Sunday. And he wants to do a baptism. So I say, yeah, come on, preach for us and do the baptism. So we'll have to get the water ready.
Amen.
And so that'll be a week from this Sunday. Now, Clarice and I will be leaving town, Lord willing, Saturday. So we'll be gone till next Saturday. But I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Amen. So God bless you. Sis, you got something?
Listening to everything, my eyes were opening, and I have had that happen before. When I hear the scripture, I was blind and now I can see. And I've had people tell me how far I've come, and I'm just like, I downplay it because I couldn't see it. And I've heard it said that other people can see it first.
Mm-hmm.
But God actually showed it to me. Because see, how I used to be before I came here is I wouldn't take water from anyone. I wouldn't give you water either. I wouldn't. If you were laying down on the street, I was like this. Like, I wanted nothing to do with it. I'm gonna do what I can to make it. I hope you make it, but I'm not gonna do it. So I got here, right? God brought me here. And I did start changing. And it wasn't because of me. It wasn't my flesh. I started wanting to do something nice for somebody. I was like, should I let somebody out in front of me instead of speeding up? They've been waiting in that long line. Should I let them turn? I mean, this might seem like little stuff, but you know, Brother Peter come into town and we had him over at the house, and he was back in the backyard with my husband, whatever, and I don't care. That's what I am. I don't care. That's the problem. Okay. And I sat there and got the salad and I don't even know what all I made. It wasn't me. It was God. And everything was done right on time. That's how he started with me, though. That's how he started changing me. It wasn't that God told me what to do. It's like leading. It's like hey, you should do this. And because it's not a voice or anything, it just automatically happens. And it works out. And it's a blessing for other people. And I'm looking at it like, you're really blessed by that? Because that's my flesh. And now I'm to the point where I think somebody prays, and I go and I help somebody, and I'm touched by it, or somebody offers something for me or my kids. Mm-hmm. And I start tearing up because I'm blessed by it. And it's a blessing that goes back and forth, and that's how he's brought me. That's my journey here, is he took me from who I was into what I am now. And he's still working on me. And he hasn't given up on me, even when I don't care. Because it's my obedience to submit to his will, my turning to his word that he honors, because I believe and I have faith and I know he'll see me through. Because he already has. Every moment. Every moment. So I'm grateful to be here and thank you.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
God knows how to change you. That's why I said, don't worry about me telling you what you need to do to change. You get the word in you, and the word's going to change you. I don't have to follow you home. The word will follow you. God has smiled on me.
Pastor Moore.
Yes, sir.
Dad. I just want to thank God for being here, another opportunity to be here. You know, if I don't say nothing, like, God's done it all, so why wouldn't I say nothing? I just want to give God the glory.
Amen.
And like, I'm just so glad to know what we know, and yes, to know who we are, know where we're going, mm-hmm, and know that he's taking care of everything. Why would I not say nothing? I just,
amen.
I just thank God for that.
That's it.
God bless you guys.
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen. Come back Sunday expecting. See what God has in mind and in store for us. Yes. Amen. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Oh, yes, God has smiled on me. He's been good. Smiled on me.